I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Well, there's a lot of things under the sun, right? They say nothing new. I guess there's some truth to that, but you got tax rebates under the sun. You got huckleberries under the sun. You got housing under the sun. You got rebates under the sun. You got election integrity under the sun. The 68th Montana Legislature, they've concluded a very busy biennial session, which included almost everything under the sun. Senate President Jason Ellsworth had a front row seat to that. How about that? Had a front row seat and a gavel. And he's going to join us today as we talk about what he hopes are the positive impacts and that he and his colleagues will have left behind with the 68th Legislature. That today on Voices of Montana. Welcome. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. We're 2 decades strong and working on 3, and we'll get out there and just get kicking it for this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. And again, thanks for making us part of your Montana mornings for 24 years. That's 2 decades working on 3. Holy cow. Senate President Jason Ellsworth is with us. Senate District 43 out of Hamilton presided over the 68th Montana Legislative Senate Chamber. And my gosh, a lot of work done. Good morning, Senate President Ellsworth. How are you, sir?
Good, sir. How are you?
Hanging in. Appreciate that. Did you do anything fun this weekend? Did you? Or how long did it take you to kind of recover a little bit? You sit on the couch. Go ahead.
I can tell you this is what I did. Before I left, which I left on Friday, I signed about 400 bills, and you got to sign each bill twice, so my hand's a little cramped. And then I came home and I crashed and watched TV just to recover. So I'm in that recovery phase at this moment. I mean, you have a lot of adrenaline, especially towards the end, just making sure that all the pieces come together. So after that, you kind of crash a little bit.
Well, and this is your third session, too, and I've heard legislators say, it takes a little while to get out of that mode because it's so intense over that 90-day period. I mean, if you could tell me, what was the latest you went to bed and what was the earliest you got up during that time? There's a lot to accomplish.
I guess during the weekdays, I mean, this was the first time we didn't work as many Saturdays as we typically do because we really wanted the opportunity for staff to catch up and not inundate them. Mm. But, I mean, you're pulling 14 to 16-hour days every day. And then some days you're pulling, 20 hours, between meeting with constituents, working on your legislation, just the whole process. So it's an intense 90 days. That's, basically spread out over 4 months. But at the end of the day, I think if we look at this session, we're going to say, wow, what did we get accomplished? And there were some amazing things that we did get accomplished.
Well, and you came in with some priorities too. And a lot of them, I'm going to start with housing because that was one of the first priorities anyway. It's a complicated issue. There are different approaches, different ideas have come forth there. I know that the Democrats have, of course, that's easy for them to just criticize everything in that super minority position. But they were critical that they didn't feel like there was anything real permanent on housing. But I'm not sure that there was a call for permanent housing solutions. That's going to take some thought out process. But let's start there, sir.
Yeah, and I would say the Democrats are absolutely wrong on this one because we did get some permanent fixes in housing. I'm going to talk about one bill in particular that I carried that was one of my key pieces of legislation, which was Senate Bill 158. And what it did is it allowed for, if you're in a subdivision, to do a family transfer. And you weren't allowed to do that before. Now, let's be clear, this doesn't allow you to, if your covenants don't allow that to happen, you cannot do that. So it doesn't change that. But what it does do is, if you were wanted a family transfer within a subdivision, legally you couldn't do that. You had to go through a subdivision review, and you know, we want to keep Montanans home. So we want an opportunity for their children to stay home, and this is a great opportunity for people that are in subdivisions that allow another division of land to, you know, gift their child or their parents a you know, another lot within their covenants. Mm-hmm. So that was a big piece, I think, that people missed. Certainly, you had Senator Forrest Mandeville's Senate Bill 382. It's the Montana Land Use Planning Act. It's a major rewrite of the Montana's land use planning laws. It would require local governments to establish planning commissions and provide continuous public participation and adopt land use, you know, maps. And Senate Bill 382 requires local governments to analyze expected population trends. So that, you know, that's another key piece that we put along to. And I've got 30 bills I could list here, but yeah, those are just some of them.
Yeah, and I appreciate those too. I mean, that's the policy side of things. And I'm not overly political, but it's you have to. I like to start there instead of just throwing money at a problem. There was some additional funding though that was directed, especially towards some workforce housing. That's become a real critical issue. Talk about those other pieces too, then, that addresses the temporary need for housing.
So yeah, we have as far as the money end in infrastructure, we had it's House Bill 819. That was Representative Green's, and this was a key piece. And it sets up the community reinvestment plan to make sure Montanans work and, you know, can find affordable housing. The bill sets up 16 regional districts managed and improved by community reinvestment groups that use state funds to make loans. And let's be clear, these are loans, and issue other relief to ensure Montana's work first housing, that the citizens, you know, have more than 30. It's no more than 30% of their income. Mm-hmm. So that is a program that's a loan program. It's not a grant program. And it allows for infrastructure and for people to be able to help out with their down payments on their houses. So we also looked at money as well, but we looked at it in the sense of just not giving it away, but actually creating a trust that, you know, will be perpetual. So as that money gets paid back, then that trust can continue to grow.
And so it is an investment plan. I'm 819 again, and I have to admit, you know, I'm always amazed at but you get to know these numbers, don't you?
We do some deep dives into this.
Yeah.
I mean, this bill contained additional fixes to assist in the building of critical infrastructure too. So if you have a community, let's say, that wants to expand their septic, you know, or their city water, city sewer, and they can also apply for this money as well at a low interest rate and get some of those projects built. So not only was it policy, but money as well. But with the people's money, we made sure it wasn't just, you know, a grant program, but it actually came back.
And 819, if I recall, Senate President Jason Ellsworth with us here again, Senate District 43 out of Hamilton. If I recall, you guys amended 819, passed it, handed it back, and then closed shop. So it was, you must have liked your changes an awful lot in that bill, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we'd made some significant work and, you know, had all stakeholders, you know, MACO, Montana Association of Counties, League of Cities. I mean, we had stakeholders from private organizations going, how do we, you know, help develop workforce housing? It was a big piece of infrastructure and housing for Montana as far as the monetary side of things go.
Yeah. I think that's, well, some of the local jurisdictions, and you're in the Bitterroot Valley there, and very much, I lived nearby in Missoula for 30 plus years and actually went to church in the Bitterroot. I know that they're very independent in nature. And so some of those, there was a lot of criticism or at least maybe discussion. And I want to see where you feel it lands now that you've got some eyes looking backward on it. regarding not putting too many, or I don't know, not handcuffing the local jurisdiction.
I gotta say this. Yeah. What we did do is we were being very targeted on, you know, local issues. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, people could do things locally. And, you know, we do have an obligation to look at things statewide. So we wanted to make sure municipalities were allowing for, you know, workforce housing and allowing for affordable housing. So one of the bills that went through said if you're, you know, on a lot that allows a single family home, you know, you can put a duplex in there if your city's a certain size. So, you know, we're trying to create opportunities for local government to, you know, be and effectuate, you know, affordable housing. So that was a, you know, that was a piece that we did as well. So it, yeah. Sometimes it does have to be top down. Not everything can come from the bottom up. So, you know, that is one that came top down.
Well, and I think a lot of these places were just slow to respond. And even though, again, using that example in Missoula, for 20 plus years, they studied housing and gentrification. And there was never any real proposal put on the table to address it. It was all just a lot of, well, we're looking at this issue.
And that's what I would say. I mean, we had a Governor Gianforte put together a, you know, housing coalition of stakeholders. And we took a lot of those things that they came up with and enacted them in law. You know, I'll give you a funny one, for instance, but it made a lot of sense was, you know, allowing for tiny homes. And you know, this is an opportunity for people to kind of get into, you know, their own home. So just allowing for tiny homes, I mean, it was a good bill. And it makes sense for people out there that are just starting in their life and wanting something they actually own. So there's another good example.
Yeah. I mean, we're really hurting our families if we don't at least try to conceptualize a way for them to stick around here. Was there a time when, during this debate, and it was pretty active, I know Senator Mandeville, again, he's a land use planner by trade. There was a lot of discussion in the development of this act. There was a lot of discussion as it moved through. Did you feel like there were times when it was pulled back? Did the legislature restrain themselves, so to speak?
I mean, we were purposeful in everything we did. So restraint, I don't think is the right word. I would say purposeful is the correct word. So we were targeted and purposeful on what we were trying to get accomplished. Restraint would not be the correct word at all.
Yeah. But I can appreciate that too. But in developing this policy, what do you think, and this is, I've got a break upcoming here too, and we'll move off of this and get on to rebates too, because that's another big one there. What do you think going forward then? What was left off the table, Jason? What's going to need to be addressed, you know, in the next legislative session?
Well, I would say we did some significant things. So we've got to allow these things to, you know, perpetuate into actual, you know, getting it done. Boots on the ground, let's say, and getting these policies enacted. And we made some major strides. So I think what we have is a very comprehensive plan. It also deals with septic systems and setbacks. And this was the time to pull the trigger on these issues. So we did some monumental things. As far as going forward, I think you got to look at these policies and see how they play out and then be nimble in the future to see what else we can do. But I mean, these are significant structural changes. So I'm excited where we're headed today.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm glad we put these, you know, pen to paper on it, so to speak, and it's signed, and now we can look and see if they are going to have some positive impacts, and which there's a lot of confidence they will. We are with Senate President Jason Ellsworth here today. We'll come on back and talk about $500 million in permanent income tax relief as we wrap up this 68th Montana legislative session today on Voices.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Senate President Jason Ellsworth is on the program here today as well. As I mentioned, he had a front row seat and a gavel at the 68th Montana Legislative Session. And yeah, that's right. was that fun? I mean, sometimes it looks like I think everybody wants to hit a mallet, wants to gavel down order once in a while, right?
Well, I only had to do it once during the whole session.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Just one time.
Well, that's too bad then, huh? Kind of a disappointment.
No, it's a good thing. Oh, it means we have good decorum in the Senate, so that's a positive thing.
Yeah, it's a little bit different too. And I've got some thoughts about the House. I guess I'm just going to share here. You know, I think this was a really good and well run session, and I think the criticism in the House is unfair. I think there was a lot of respect across bodies there, and the mainstream media is out there just doing that, misleading on.
That's a shame because I think it really takes away from the narrative of what we did get accomplished. And you know, some of this stuff was party, you know, across party lines. So we worked together. You know, I know in the Senate, I mean, I had Senator Flowers, which was the minority leader. I mean, we sat down and had good conversation throughout the entire session. Like I said, I only had to gavel down one person the whole session, and it was just because they weren't opening correctly and off of the bill. But that's about it. So, I mean, I'd like people to think about what we did get accomplished, not the, you know, I guess, highlighted controversy in the House.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And again, that's I'm probably going to address that on Friday just a little more, just the disappointment I feel and how that's being reported on. Anyway. People who were, monitoring and you get like, how many people do you think actually watched those sessions? I got access to almost everything I wanted, Jason, hearings.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I mean, I think a lot of people do. So I took a picture the other day when I was leaving my office or on the floor. And I put it on my Facebook and I had somewhere around 5,000 phone calls, messages where people actually called in because they saw something or they want to participate in some way. And that's just on my desk. So, I mean, I think people really do pay attention and they are watching and they're being participatory too on the bills that I think affect their lives. So I think we had great participation from Montana residents.
Yeah, I'm thankful for that too. And I think people are recognizing that's what they need to do to be more informed on these decisions, because I don't want to be super critical, but you're not getting the whole story. And I felt that some of it has been purposely misleading too in some of the reporting, but that's my opinion.
Unfortunately, I think that's what sells. And you know, that's what the media sometimes does, is they report on the controversial issues instead of the ones that actually are meaningful reforms for people. But that's my thought.
Yeah, and that's okay too. We still do our work as best we can. Let's get on to, I know I got a breakup coming here too. Skip's got a question, but your first thoughts on how you guys handled taxes. You got some tax rebates, you had a budget surplus. There's discussion about shifting taxes. I know that there'll be another proposal out there for a citizens referendum if they get the signatures to cap property taxes again. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, so I would say this session, let's just talk about what we did get accomplished.
Yeah.
So we gave back the people's money. So, you know, money that people paid in. And that came in the form of a tax rebate for income, $1,250 per person, $2,500 for a married couple. And that's, of course, if you paid tax. So if you didn't pay tax, of course, you're not going to get that back. But if you did, you're going to get that back, and that's $2,500. And then we also did on property tax as well. We did $1,000 in tax relief this year. There'll be two different checks sent out, one for $500, another for $500. And that's what we could do, you know, to help people out, to, you know, get them, I guess, in a better spot than where they're at today, because property tax was an issue that, you know, my constituents talked about a lot. So we wanted to give some, you know, one-time money, you know, back to the citizens and give them back their money. And I think we did that really well and as quickly as we possibly could. So I'm happy with those things. And we also took the top marginal rate down, and that went from 6.5 to 5.9. And you need to understand that 80% of Montanans actually benefit from that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's real money when you're talking about, you know, 0.6%. That's, you know, that's if you're making, you know, $30,000 a year, and that's a chunk of change that goes right back into your pocket. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know there's more work to be done on that too. I tell you what, I'm going to take a break. There's more to talk about on taxes here. We'll see where Skip's going to go. Skip in Hamilton, stand by. We'll get to your call here in just a bit. We are with Senate President Jason Ellsworth from your area, Senate District 43. Hamilton just wrapped up as the leader president of the Senate for the 68th, and more to come here on Voices.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Member of the Taxation Committee, Fish and Game, the Joint Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and Senate Fish and Game Committee. Got to know a few things about the rules as well. Sat on the Business, Labor, and Economic Affairs Interim Committee. We are with Senate President Jason Ellsworth here, Senate District 43 out of Hamilton. Let's go to Hamilton, listening there on KLYQ. Skip, thanks. You're on with your representative here, your state senator, Jason Ellsworth.
Well, thank you, Tom. And hello, Jason. It was nice to hear all your answers to Tom's questions in this broadcast. I wanted to tell you that I'm really thankful that you're our senator. And also, would you please, before you're done, explain how long your term is and what your obligations are, while you're still in this elected office. And, I wanted to ask you about the constitutional amendments that could have been constitutional amendments. And is there any that you really wish had gone through because they really would have been good for the people of the state and your constituents? Just as an example, maybe something to do with redistricting or about the Supreme Court judges and who really elects them. Any that come to your mind. And I appreciate all of the way that you explain things. I know you pretty well as a person, and I feel like I know you love what you're doing. So please tell us where you stand on where we should be going as time goes on. And thank you, sir.
Skip, thank you.
Thanks, Skip. And I guess I'll first hit upon what my responsibilities are. So I'll continue to be president of the Senate until the next session. And then I have another session to serve, so that's another 2 years. And I'll run for president again, and I'm elected by my peers. So, you know, it is it's an important position. There's a lot of just, you know, I guess, sitting down and talking to people and finding answers amongst our caucus. And if we want to go into the constitutional referendum, the amendments, I mean, there were six that we did put out there. And we put those out there based upon a survey of our members. None of them garnered 100 votes. And I would actually say, you know, I actually expected that to happen, that, you know, we weren't going to actually get a constitutional referendum on the ballot. And I'll tell you why, is because we're Republicans. So we have, you know, we challenge everything. We ask the good questions. We don't vote as a herd. You know, we had 103 Republicans in between the House and the Senate, and to have 100, you would have to have 100 people agree to put something on a ballot.
Sir,
and of course,
I'm going to have to pause right there and come on back with that story. I'd like to see how that does get done. Back with more here in just a bit with Jason Ellsworth. Right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Thanks for being here. We're two decades strong, working on three, an objective perspective.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
That's Cody Ross, our in-studio engineer. Appreciate him being back this week. He sounds like he needs a vacation. Tomorrow, going to be chatting with Mike Lang, state senator out of the Highline area, Malta area. Talked to him about a bill that was actually vetoed by the governor, 442, would kind of redistribute some of the this marijuana tax, recreational marijuana sales to county roads and things like that. Maybe we'll talk with Jason about that as well. That's tomorrow, along as I mentioned, Jason Gleason, a Montana board certified nurse practitioner for 20 years, service in the military as well. We'll thank him for that and then talk about May is actually a National Stroke Awareness Month, too. So and then Bridget Miranda Freer with the Montana World Trade Center on Wednesday. And then Austin Knutson on Thursday. Hey, good show. Kicking it off right, too, with Senate President Jason Ellsworth. Jason, again, I appreciate your time here on that. We went into break there. You were talking about some constitutional ballots that and Skip had said, you know, what do you like? What didn't you like out of that? But you were talking about you weren't surprised to see that they didn't necessarily make it to the ballot.
Yeah, and I mean, this is just a numbers game. So if you look at this, we have 103 Republicans. And you need 100 of them to agree on a particular issue. And again, it's just to get it on the ballot for the citizens. So we don't change the Constitution in the legislature. And that's what the Democrats tried to say and tried to beat us up on, you know, publicly. We do not change the Constitution. All it does is allow a ballot initiative to go through and a referendum, and then the people get a vote on it. But, you know, having we had a supermajority, but, you know, we only had a 3-vote margin there that we could lose. And I got to tell you, to get 103 Republicans or 100 Republicans to agree on one particular issue, good luck. I mean, we were close on some, but the reality is, you know, we weren't there all the way. And we did put a lot of work into it. At the same time, I think what it did is start a lot of the conversations that need to be started about, you know, what does need to change. And I was happy that we at least had those conversations and had them publicly.
Yeah, one of them being the redistricting, because as we have followed that here, and I know that you have expressed your disappointment in that very specifically too. Do you think that goes anywhere after this legislature?
You know, I think it depends on the numbers we get this next session. You know, if we can increase upon our supermajority, you know, I would love to put something in front of the citizens. And that's all this does, is it puts something in front of them to be able to vote on. So I think if the citizens have the opportunity to understand it and look at how redistricting is done, they would agree to, you know, to change it and make it kind of more boots on the ground to the citizens. And that's through the legislature. So hopefully that will happen in the future.
Thank you for that. Again, it's Senate President Jason Ellsworth. So I'm moving back over to taxes, and then I want to finish up on election integrity before we kind of conclude the hour here. Taxes. Now, you talked about getting Montanans to Republicans to agree. We look at our tax structure, and there's been a lot of discussion that's getting louder regarding it's out of whack in a lot of ways, and we may need to have more of a discussion and then maybe need to make some substantial changes to that. That is so hard to accomplish in today's environment. I'm saying, I know we're talking about sales tax, but that's always been voted down, you know, 75-25 almost in Montana. I wonder if that changes now when you look at where the now that we're a resource leg of this tax structure is kind of faltering a little bit.
Yeah, and I would say this is a conversation that needs to continue because certainly, you know, my position is you wouldn't add just a new tax.
Right.
You'd have to take away, and it would have to be a mandate to take away from another tax. And, you know, I want to see the statistical analysis of what that looks like. Obviously, tourism in this state is significant. And if there's a way to monetize that to, you know, these people come in, utilize our roads, utilize our infrastructure, and at the end of the day, you know, they're not paying property tax. They do pay some in gas tax, but, you know, that's about it. So how do we make sure that the people are coming here and utilizing this great state, you know, are also contributing to it? And that's a tough discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to ultimately go to the citizens. So I don't think it's a mandate that can come from the legislature. I think it's something that you put on the ballot and, you know, have some deep discussions on so that potentially you may be able to do something.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And I agree. I think everybody would say if it's going to happen, it's going to have to be through the citizens of the state itself. I have thrown out their proposal to, you know, rebate portions of that for permanent Montana residents. And I know that would take some configuration to make that work, but then we are getting something back in that regard. Let me ask this though, is this discussion a little bit easier to have now after this legislative session? Are we starting to see people at least get past what is political about it?
I guess it to me, it's not really about this legislative session. It was more about COVID. Mm-hmm. And I think what people have seen is, you know, they see all these people moving in here. Their property values are going through the roof, you know, citizens that have lived here, you know, generationally, and they're starting to pay higher property taxes, and they want to go, okay, how do we stop this from happening? We've been here for 20 years. We can't even afford our property tax. So I think it's actually, you know, representative of what happened during COVID with all these people moving in. And then how do we, you know, since we are, you know, and have become very touristy, how do we, you know, capture, I guess, and monetize that to maybe get some permanent property tax relief? So I think people are more amenable to having that discussion, but it cannot be just a tax to have a tax.
Yeah.
It has to be a tax with relief. So we'll see how that continues.
Yeah. I'm curious about it as well. I'm going to take a break and then save some time on the other side because I want to get into some of these other things. So, you know, maybe there's a lighter side moment for you that you can share. Maybe I want to talk about election integrity because that's another one of those issues that was important for voters going in. And obviously there was some progress made, I think, but it didn't come without controversy. But that's the legislative process. We are with Senate President Jason Aylesworth, Senate District 43 out of the Hamilton area, and back with more here from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
We'll talk about some of that money that was earmarked, both from the federal side of things, but also from our state for St. Mary's. That's tomorrow. State Senator Mike Lang will join us here from the Malta area. We'll also talk about Senate Bill 442. I mentioned that earlier. The governor vetoed that one. That's going to redistribute some of the marijuana taxes. I think there's a call. Senate President Jason Aylesworth is with us here. And again, Jason, I appreciate your being on and your public service, too. Really good job this year. And I paid attention more than ever. Senate Bill 442, is there going to be a call to override that veto?
You know, I don't know if we actually legally can, because what happened was we were still in session when that veto came back to us.
Oh.
And So I don't know if you can even pull that at this point. It'll be interesting to see how that does work out. Unfortunately, you know, we had senators that voted for a sine die motion, definitely prematurely, in my opinion, yeah. And I think a lot of people's opinion, because if we would actually been there, we could have done a veto override, I think, and we had the votes to do it at that point. So I'm disappointed that we did the sine die motion when it happened.
Yeah, there's always things that you're proud of and disappointed in. Let's go to election integrity before we run out of time, because there's a number of bills. What stands out? What's the cream of the crop in that area?
So this is what I did, is I went in and I promised people that I would take election integrity seriously. So day one, I announced that I was putting together a special select committee, and their whole job was just to look at election integrity and what we could do to make our elections safer. I think dispel some of the misnomers out there and educate people and legislators as far as what the election system actually looks like. And we ended up with, I think 6 or 7 bills that came out of that election integrity committee and became law. So, you know, we had Senator Shelley Vance's Zuckerberg's bucks, we call them, where, you know, you don't have any private money that goes into elections. So elections should be funded by citizens and not private industry, because, of course, then you could have a problem there. So that was another one. And then we also looked at, can we audit more? So we put in, and there's a couple of pieces of legislation in there that allows for more audits within our election that make sure that they're safe and secure. You know, and if you use a vote counting machine, you can't have any connection as far as a modem goes or outside connection, and that's got to be verified by a third party. So there's another piece. And, I've got a few more I could go over, but I think you might want to go into something else, too.
No. Go ahead and talk about more of those, too. I mean, I know, Bill and Baker's glued right now to the radio because he's been big on this issue. And I think it's fair to say that, when you talk about those Zuckerberg bucks, their elections are very, very important. So they garner a lot of attention. Some of that attention may be nefarious. And so I believe these strengthening our election laws, I think, are in order. What else did we do?
God, I would say, we put together a bill addressing auditing the best practices. It would require, your... is what you call a CVR, which is your cast vote record function, and be activated and turned all on in all Montana voting systems at all times. So that's a piece, and it's really sticky to get into, but that's an important piece. I would say that, having a continual committee on elections, that's another thing that we've talked about doing, and I think we should be doing at the same time, so we're always looking at the elections. Small counties, we exempted them from auditing, and now they're going to actually be part of the audit process, so we can even look into some of these smaller elections. So there was another big piece there that I think people, want to understand how their elections work and make sure that the legislature makes them safer. So those are some of the key pieces.
Were there any hints that that opposition started to recognize maybe the need for some of these things? You kind of blow away the dust of politics behind this, and was there some bipartisan support?
Oh, God, yeah, and there was. So we had a good committee with both sides of the aisle on that committee and actually came together on bills that, made sense for citizens. So I think everybody walked out of there with a greater understanding of what we do in the state of Montana. It's real important to understand that we are not, other states. So we have tabulation machines. We do not have machines where you actually cast a vote. So all those machines do is count. And we audit those machines on a continual basis. Certainly we can do better and we can audit them more. So that was a bill that came through and said we need to make sure we're auditing more of those tabulations to make sure they're, accurate. Definitely have done a lot on elections and a lot of education. and I think dispelled a lot of rumors and misnomers that were out there. You know, that you could hook up a modem to these machines, and it, you know, that's not what these machines do. They only tabulate. So I'm happy that there was discussion on both sides.
Yeah, me too. Again, lightning round here. We got 2 minutes. Let's talk school choice, education. It's Teacher Appreciation Week, and we have a lot of appreciation for our teachers. I think our Montana teachers are outstanding. I think the system sometimes makes it hard to navigate through. There was some school choice bills passed. Do you think they'll help, sir?
Yeah, and I do. The first thing I'd like to say is, you know, our teachers that are out there, they work hard. Yeah. They strive for our children. And I respect them all. So I've never met a teacher personally that didn't put their whole heart and effort into what they're doing. It's a thankless job to some extent, and I got to thank them for putting the effort forward to teach our children. We did pass two bills to allow charter schools in two different directions and two different kinds of charter schools, and I think the governor's going to sign them. I think it's an opportunity for education to think outside the box. So, you know, I don't blame teachers that we have a broken system. I look at the system and say the system is broken. So charter schools is an opportunity to allow a different approach, and one that's been successful in other states. And we need to see, you know, how they can incorporate here in the state of Montana. But thank God we do have great teachers in the state that work very hard for our children.
Can you tell me a funny story in 30 seconds?
The only funny story I really have is I was collecting cows, these little miniature cows. They were handed out by Farm Bureau, and they were all taken hostage. So we put out a bolo, be on the lookout for, and I had branded them all, and everybody took them. Well, at the end of session, I think I ended up with 40 cows on my desk. So that was a lot of fun. I had a little fun there.
You did a great job, sir. Thank you for your service, Jason.
Thank you.
Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.